Good morning. It is December 22nd, 2013. This may or may not be our last podcast for the year. Is there another Sunday before the end of the year?
Yeah.
There is? Okay. So probably not the last podcast for till the end of the year. My name is Joey Shimotaro. I'm your host, and I'm here with my good friend, Toby Pett. Toby, say hi to the folks.
Good morning, Gloucester.
The sign-on has taken place, and we can now commence. It is two weekends, or is it one weekend after the Good Morning Gloucester Christmas party?
What a great take that was.
Yeah, I messed up and said Christmas party, but you have to say holiday party. We don't want anybody writing in upset that we didn't say holiday party.
Well, for you, it was a Christmas party.
Right.
For others, they were celebrating Festivus.
Yes.
That evening, there was plenty of airing of the grievances.
A lot of grievances aired?
It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful party. Great food. People brought food, some of which I brought.
What did you bring?
I made my lobster clam chowder, which is always well received. And I also made some meat pies.
You brought lobster clam chowder?
Yeah.
I missed it. I didn't eat anything. I had two of Hannah Kimberly's cookies that she stuffed in my mouth towards the end of the night, but I didn't eat anything else.
Well, I'm going to say this very modestly.
Yeah.
People were flipping out, as they usually do, about the lobster clam chowder.
Oh, it's tremendous.
I mean, Alan Estes was there. Everyone around Gloucester certainly knows Alan Estes as a musician and performer, but he flipped out. He says, is it okay to have seconds? It was pretty funny. It was like a little kid, you know, asking if he could have seconds. It was, you know, people really enjoy that. And, you know, I did it because I got some of those weeks from you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, the clams, you know, I get, and the other ingredients. But part of what I do whenever I get some of those weeks from you is and if people don't know what weeks are, Joey, why don't you explain to them what weeks are?
A weak lobster is a lobster that won't put it into a crate for, you know, to our wholesalers to sell, because it'll probably die within a couple of days, hours or days. So I call you up that day.
Yeah,
I called you up and said, "Here, we got, you know, so many pounds," and you came and picked them up.
Well,
and
I did some deliveries for you, and rather than, because we're friends, I don't want to charge you for my time, my gas.
Yeah.
And part of the way that you compensate me is when you get some of these weeks, you let me know.
I tune you up.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So what I do when I get those weeks is I immediately cook them off, and I prepare one of two things: lobster clam chowder, or some lobster pie, both of which you love. So anyway, I brought lobster clam chowder that night. There were so many other good things. People just, that party was wonderful. Everyone is in good spirits.
Yeah.
I mean,
the food, so there was a bunch of food. And I'll tell you, I went home starving. And do you know the reason why I went home starving?
No. Why don't you tell the folks?
And the same thing happened at the men's night. I have this thing where if there's free food, like you go someplace and they're offering free food and stuff like that, and it's a public venue, it's not that I'm skeeved out about the food that other people have touched it or anything like that. But I have a problem because I've been to enough. I've been part of enough organizations that when there's free food, there's always that handful of people that make themselves look like real jerks because they just bury their plate like a paper plate, and it's just like collapsing on the sides. And then they hover around the food all night long, and they just eat like they've never eaten before. Or if there's like wine at an opening, you see these same people at these art shows, and they couldn't care less about, like, you know, the art show. But they're pounding down the wine because it's like free. And it's like, I have such a phobia of being cast like one of those people. And I think it looks so poorly. And I go to enough of those art shows that I hear people talk about the usual suspects that show up for all these things and drink all the wine or make big pigs out of themselves with the food. I just never, ever want to be that person.
Well,
So I went home. So basically, for that reason, at my own party, I didn't eat barely anything at all.
Well, I'm sorry that you have that phobia or whatever you want to call it.
It's silly.
But get over yourself, Joey.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there were a lot of those people out there. There are people, if you had magnums of wine, you know, the double bottle open, and there was a normal size bottle next to it, the people will just grab the normal bottle thinking that anything that comes in a magnum has got to be inferior to the normal bottle size. So there are various reasons why people do what they do, but like I said, you should get over it. Or bring a couple pizzas and just eat the pizza.
Well, I screwed up. I was supposed to order the pizzas, but when I walked in, Fred said that there's plenty of food, so I didn't order the pizzas.
There was plenty of food.
Yeah, but I screwed up. I did send up Alicia, my buddy Alicia and Chris DeWolf. I sent them out for a bottle of Bobby Ryan and Woods Knockabout Gin, so we could have some gin and tonics.
Well, usually, I mean, Paul Morrison would show up with a couple bottles of gin.
And usually he has a special the way he does it. He brings the cooler, he puts a layer of ice on the bottom, puts the bottle of gin in the middle, and then covers it. So it's completely encased in ice all day long, a day prior. And then he brings the limes off of his lime tree, because he has a lime tree that he keeps going in his house. And I don't really like gin, but I like Ryan and Wood gin because it's so smooth and delicious. And then when it's chilled down like that with the limes, it's
the Knockabout Gin.
Oh God, it's so
well.
Good.
But to let people know why you sent Alicia and Chris out is that Paul Morrison is a guy that normally brings a couple bottles of gin, but Paul was ill and didn't want to expose everyone, all of the people at the party, to whatever it was that he was suffering from, and so he stayed at home. He would have really loved to have been at that party, but that's why you had to send Alicia and Chris out.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful to them.
And those, they are the folks that own and run Mamie's Kitchen.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
did you see the what I posted this week, that Hilltop special?
Yeah,
that thing that they with the linguica that they the homemade linguica that they made.
It's Chris's aunt, I think, that makes the linguica.
My God, that was so. It had asparagus, it had green peppers, sautéed onions, American cheese, and kind of like scrambled eggs, not an omelet. But scrambled eggs, kind of chopped up into it and everything with the homemade linguica. It was incredible. Well,
people think sometimes that we only compliment or give kudos to our close friends, but sometimes people are so over the top great. I mean, every Thursday, Chris cooks off a corned beef so he can make
Tuesdays he does it?
No, Thursdays. Thursday. He starts cooking it off so that Sunday mornings, this is not for anything else other than weekend hash. But this is corned beef hash that doesn't come out of a can. This is corned beef hash that he makes every week from scratch.
Yeah. This is at Mamie's Kitchen. Every day they have daily specials.
Yeah, but I mean, it just... Yeah. You know, some places will serve you breakfast and it comes out of a can.
Have we talked about this before? Who has homemade hash? And
yeah, we mentioned it once. But I'm just saying, as long as we're on the subject of Mamie's Kitchen, one of the things that distinguishes them and why they are different, it's like the house-made linguica. I mean, like I said, Chris's aunt makes it. The fact that corned beef hash, for Chris and Alicia, does not mean something that comes out of a can. It's something that you start preparing the Thursday before.
Yeah.
So that's what makes them different.
Yeah. So continuing our theme of food.
Well, we got to finish. I mean, the party was great.
The party was fantastic. The place. Thanks to Fred Bowden.
Oh, absolutely.
Huge kudos to Fred Bowden. Huge kudos to Kim Smith, who helped clean along the and
Donna Arizoni.
Who's always such a she's such a great spirit. We love to have her on.
She's got more energy than two people.
She's driving up to see those grandkids every weekend. She's unbelievable. Her and her husband Rick.
Rick, great guy also.
Really sweet guy. But the so this week, this Thursday night was men's night, and I always men's night is not nearly as well attended downtown as ladies' night, but this one was pretty well attended. There was pockets of men roaming around downtown, and I happened to go to Fred, you know, stop. I went to the Hive and saw those guys. They were doing their gift wrapping service. Then I went to see Fred Bowden, see how he was doing, you know, if he had recovered from the party and everything. And he had some cheese and crackers and some wine out. And then I went over to Pop Gallery. Did you see what the,
They had the chair massage going. And
not just the chair. Did you see everything there? Keg beer.
Yeah.
Pulled pork sliders. Giving away cigars. And chair massages. I mean, it was like a 10-minute massage from Gretchen from Saltwater Massage. She did a great job, by the way. And the proctology exam, just to top it
all
off.
That's an extra.
That was tremendous. Did you see the look on Craig's face when she gave him the reach?
He was so animated. It was pretty funny.
Pretty funny, yeah. He had
people know we are kidding, right?
No, he booked exams for monthly exams for two years out. Yeah, Gretchen's great. She's on Main Street. I think it's 120 Main Street. Saltwatermassage.com. Thank her for being a good sport about the post and everything. But that was funny.
Men's night. I don't know why it isn't better attended.
I mean,
people buy stuff online?
No, I just think that the women's night, like, I don't think guys call other guys and say, hey, let's go shopping.
It's not a question of going shopping.
I think that women say, they know that these places are going to have booze at the insert, yeah, the booze and stuff, and women will say, "Hey, let's make a night of it and let's go out shopping tonight and go and have a few drinks and make a night of it." But you don't have two guys saying, "Hey, let's go downtown and go shopping for men's night." It just doesn't happen.
You explain that, but I'm telling you, and we can't do it this year because those nights are gone. But for future reference, guys, this is an automatic hall pass. Okay,
oh, yeah.
You call your buddies up and say, guys, let's go out and have a couple drinks. Your wife, your girlfriend, if you're living with your mother's not going to object to this, right? You call your buddies up. You can go out. And the only thing that you have to do is come back with one gift.
Right.
But you can go out. This isn't Friday night or Saturday night or a Patriots game. This is a hall pass. Anyone that doesn't go out is crazy.
Yeah. No, it's a good time. It's a very good time. They offer discounts and stuff like that.
Discounts.
They have the raffle. I don't know who
won
the raffle.
They have food and free drinks and, yeah, like you said, chair massage. What a fun night.
Yeah, very fun night. Did you see the Nubar Alexanian's windmill video?
You know, I told you I did see it, but I had the sound was off on the computer at the time. There was a reason I couldn't have it up, and so I didn't get the benefit of the audio. And as you have, I'm going to go back and check it out again. But as you told me, there was the audio was critical. And I'll let you explain why.
Well, I don't know that the audio was critical. They actually had some slides with information on it. Some of the, basically, he started out saying that, under President Obama's administration, in the past 4 years, the amount of wind energy doubled, and he also said so many gigahertz of wind energy had been created in the past year alone, which would equal the amount of 6 Hoover dams. And for the record, I'm for the windmill. Like, once I found out how much money the city of Gloucester was going to save,
Up with the ugliness.
I don't consider them ugly either. I recognize that some people, because we get the comments on the blog, some people consider them blights.
Right.
I personally, in the location that they are, and I see them from my office window, don't consider them a blight. If I was on top of them, maybe I would consider them a blight. I think that they're pretty cool. That being said, I don't think I'd like to see them everywhere, but I think they are pretty cool. So having said that, Like when Nubar makes the point that he says, you know, this amount of energy was created in the past 4 years, and under this administration, the one part that seems to be left out, and I think is a critical part, is, you know, at what cost was this energy created? I mean, if you personally had to make the investment, would that investment pay for itself? Is the question, I think, you know, because I think that there are, and I want to say that I'm definitely not a liberal, and I have more, I consider myself a conservative with liberal leanings, but I don't take every part of, like, the Republican or Democrat, whatever they say.
What you're saying is you're fiscally conservative, but when it comes to human rights issues, you're liberal, so to speak.
I lean more to the left that way, but not all the way to the left. I just think that the point that I guess I'm trying to make is that with green initiatives, I think that it's like almost like a steamroller, because no politician
is going to go against it.
Is going to say, it doesn't matter how crazy the idea is, they don't want to be on the opposite side of saying no to the green initiative.
It would be like touching the proverbial third rail.
I think that, like, and you, we know how the lobbyists in this country are, you know, the insurance lobby, these powerful lobbies just steamroll everything. And so if you have some slick, if they wanted to divert taxpayers' money, in other words, into God knows what, I think the easiest way they could divert that money and get that money out from the taxpayers into maybe shady people's hands is through the green initiative, because no one questions them.
Yeah.
So the guy says, you know,
hopefully there's an oddity.
Four times wind energy doubled in the past year, but no one ever, the question that
cost?
The question Nubar doesn't answer or doesn't ask in this question was, okay, the energy, wind energy doubled in the past year, but how much did it cost? And could that money have been spent better elsewhere? Maybe it could have, maybe it couldn't have. I honestly don't know the answers. But the problem that I have is putting that information out there and everybody just accepting it as if it's this huge victory, when you don't have no idea at all what the numbers are. That's the problem. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully there is a quality auditing process that would expose any corruption or disparity.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, until I know what the numbers are, I can't be judgmental.
For example, the one in Gloucester, right?
But the three,
the mayor said that, yeah, you know, conservatively we're going to get X amount of dollars back. So, okay, I looked at that and I said, oh, that makes sense, right? But you can't apply it to everything, right? I don't know, like solar.
No, I mean, there are a lot of different,
there are people that have come
on
down. There's a guy that comes down all the time. He's trying to convince me to put solar panels on my roof. And I say, okay, can you tell me, like, would you, I want to know if a business that wasn't getting tax incentives to do it, would they take money out of their pocket to make this financial investment? If you take away, you have to strip out a couple things. You have to strip out the fact that if, you know, some big company is going to say, oh, look at, we're green, the advertising and the goodwill that they get because they're being shown as a green friendly company. So you take that out, because that, you know, I think that there's a lot of companies that, you know, multinational companies that, they throw a little bit of money at some green initiative and say, hey, we're green. And it costs them $100,000 or $1 million on a multi-billion-dollar corporation, but then they're going to use more money in the PR campaign to let everybody know that they put money towards this green initiative than they did towards the green initiative. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
They use it like
an
advertising vehicle.
I wish that I had more statistics and information at my fingertips, so that we could delve into this.
I wish I knew of a of an auditing company that didn't have something to be gained from the, from either side, from the pro, for, you know, for something to gain from the coal company or from the wind company or from the, you know what I mean?
Well, there are some people out there that are pretty well informed. I mean, for example, Ward 1 City Councilor Paul McGeary is very well informed on the subject. And
how do you know that?
I've attended public hearings,
yeah,
which he has chaired,
yeah,
where they talk about these things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There was one at Sawyer Free Library.
I like Paul McGeary. He seems like a level-headed guy.
Pretty, very level. I think that's a good, yeah, you know.
Yeah, like it seems like he's not going into it with with agendas, no, or, you know, like there's a couple counselors that I think that they have, like, personal vendettas that, like, every decision that gets made is politics instead of, okay, what's best for the city. But most of them, and especially the newer ones, seem like they have the best interest of the city at heart.
I'm going to use a trite expression. It's very trendy right now. But Paul is a guy who plays well with others. I mean,
that was that in the newspaper article? I think Melissa Cox said that. That was her
maybe,
quote.
Maybe she did. I don't know. I didn't read anything in the paper about him. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, I was just involved with a construction project on a house that I'm involved with. And some of the subcontractors did not play well with others. And that expression came up quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying Paul McGeary is one of those guys that everyone likes. He responds immediately, by the way.
That's great.
I mean, if you have an issue, email him, call him.
I love that he uses, I don't know if he uses Constant Contact or something, but he gets out, like, newsletters to his constituents.
Oh, yeah. And if there's an emergency, like the snow, a parking emergency, if you're on the list, boom.
You get an email. Yeah.
You're getting email.
It's very good. Very good.
He uses current technology.
Yeah, for an old guy.
Oh, come on.
No, that's great. I love that stuff. But, yeah.
By the way, he loves Good Harbor Beach. He's not just a Ward 1 guy. He loves Good Harbor Beach.
Was he part of that group? Because there's a group now, like Friends of Good Harbor Beach or something.
I don't know. But I'm just telling you.
I think he sent out emails talking about that thing or something. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to talk out of something.
If you're not informed, I get it. But I'm telling you that, you know, he's a guy that really appreciates things.
Well, you wanted to do some shout-outs to the you wanted to do some shout-outs to some people that about the podcast. That,
well, I got such a kick out of it is we didn't do a podcast last week. You ended up doing that commercial for the Nutty Redhead.
Commercial. It wasn't a commercial. It wasn't paid.
I laughed. You did it for Polly Walnuts.
Well, I did it for her.
And in any case, because I'd been on with you for so many weeks in a row, just like, you know, as if Johnny Carson had gotten rid of Ed McMahon, people commented to me. And I heard about it from Dave from down in Georgia on Skidaway, from David out in Telluride, Colorado. I mean, these are people who listen. It's not just Gloucester people here who pay attention. There are people that listen to the podcast, Joey.
I'm very upset. I am very upset with myself, by the way, because we had the Nutty Redhead on last week, and when Paulie Walnuts afterwards, he says, oh, you must have had a ball with that interview, because if you could imagine all the opportunities I had to say, when she says, you're going to love these nuts. I didn't take one opportunity to say anything inappropriate, though. I have definitely lost a step. It was, afterwards, I was so upset with myself for not making any crude or lascivious comments throughout the whole thing.
Well, I listened to it.
She
I mean,
says,
even
these
though
are
I wasn't
tasty nuts. These are some tasty nuts.
If it was me, you would have taken the opportunity. Maybe you just were off your game.
I'm a little bit disappointed with myself. It's terrible.
I went to their website. You know,
but I'm upset.
And
did you try the nuts?
Yes, but I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a legitimate question. This is not a put down.
Oh.
They said, welcome to our home and our kitchen where we make the nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wait a minute. You just talked about you won't touch food because you're afraid of somebody else may have touched it
no,
first.
No, I didn't say that. I said that wasn't the reason why. The reason I didn't want to eat because I don't want to seem like the guy when there's free food out there making a pig of himself. Okay. Because there's always those people.
The health department, okay, the health department is very strict with how restaurants, what they have to have for equipment, catering companies.
I'm sure she's all up to stuff.
And you know that you had your sister, Felicia, investigate.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got all the proper permits.
Okay.
Yeah. They wouldn't do anything without having the right permits and stuff like that. Yeah, they're great quality. The nuts are quality.
Like I said, it's just something that came up in my head, and I'm going, oh my God. All right, I'm sorry. You know, if it sounds wrong way.
It's perfectly. They're perfectly legitimate. I know they have all the right stuff that they needed to have. And shame on me for not. I'm thinking about going back and editing the podcast and just taking out snippets. Where she says, you're really going to love these nuts, Joey. and making like a mashup of comments, right?
No. 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 N-O. No.
I'm waiting for my favorite one. Hold on.
No, 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 no.
That's my favorite one. No, 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 no. Yeah. So Hanukkah, is Hanukkah upon us?
Joey, you remember that we did.
Thanksgiving has started.
Correct.
Did you get the 8 gifts?
Oh, gifts for 8 days.
Right.
Absolutely, Joe.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
So now, because they're all spread out over 8 days, do you feel like you get kind of screwed on that deal?
No, no, no. The only reason there's any kind of gift giving is to kind of match what you Christians do on Christmas.
What are some of the things?
You know, so the Jews won't feel inadequate somehow because they didn't get
what, 8 days?
Gift.
That's. I think that's great. So how do you get? What did you get? What are some of? Give me some examples.
I can't, Joe. I got gift certificates, which seems to be the huge thing, gift cards and gift certificates this year. I don't know if
people
are just lazy.
Do you think that's impersonal? Or do you think that? See, I would take. I like that idea because it's something that I'll definitely use instead of like something that, like, I'll probably never use, but it would be really nice. You know what I mean?
Well, okay.
Like this.
Yeah, like a scarf, you mean?
I like scarves. Scarves are really nice.
Yeah.
I wear scarves all the time.
I tell you, one of the things that I got, which I cherish, cherish having received the gift, is Kim Smith gave me a bottle of that orange infused.
Have you tried it yet?
Oh no, you have to keep it. If you remember from the post that she put out. You have to keep it for at least a week. So I'm actually going to save it for a New Year's celebration.
Do you think there's a high alcohol content in that?
Well, it's wine with the cognac, but it also has other things diluting the alcohol. So I think, like I said, it'll be a nice treat when I bring it to a New Year's gathering and serve it as an aperitif.
Speaking of booze, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Bobby Ryan brought me a nice bottle. Thank you, Bobby Ryan. A nice bottle of the whiskey.
Oh,
the Rhino Wood.
The rye whiskey.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay,
one of my favorites.
How can I drink that without drinking whiskey? Like, I mean, how can I drink that with something else to cut it down so it's not just whiskey?
Well, years ago, a lot of people would have rye and ginger.
Ooh.
Okay, so they serve it with ginger ale.
Mm.
So, I mean, that was not an uncommon drink.
Did you ever go to Cape Ann Brewing when they made that rock porter, I think, with the, and they infused it with the stuff from the whiskey barrel, the whiskey?
Yeah, well, because it was done and stored in, or for a period, I guess, in whiskey barrels. But that's not unusual. I mean, there are Scotch whiskeys that are made, they take Oloroso sherry, casks, and they put the whiskey into that so that it will get the infused flavor.
Is that the one that tastes like you're drinking tar paper?
No. No. The ones
peat moss. Is that the one with the peat moss?
Correct. You're not talking about that, right? The ones that are you don't like the heavily smoked scotches.
No, what I don't like is when I drink something and I wince when I drink it. I'm not particularly big on the wincing.
The ones that you should try, okay, Macallan, for example.
So what do you mix it with?
Well, eggnog? What I'm saying is Macallan is a scotch that is spends half of its life sitting in sherry casks. But rye whiskey, I like it just on the rocks or neat. I would just one cube.
I'm going to try it.
If you want to dilute it.
With something sweet, maybe?
Yeah. And they used to make, I think, what was it called? A Boston Ward 8, which was basically rye and ginger with, I think, a touch of grenadine.
Interesting.
For people like you who...
Wimps.
Yeah, wimps. Yeah. People like you, right.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking.
Not girly men.
Yeah.
I don't like whiskey.
It's
not that I don't like whiskey. It's just that I prefer to not wince when I drink.
Well, what about the gin? Do you drink it straight or do you
that
have
gin,
it with tonic?
I drink it with tonic, but it's still booze.
But you're watering it down.
That's smooth.
There are a lot of people that will basically just chill the gin. That what goes into a true martini.
Ooh,
see,
that's rough.
You are a girly man.
Girly man. Yes, that's me. So the mug that you're drinking out of right now,
yeah,
courtesy of Kay and Tom Ellis, the Schooner Lannan.
Kay.
They're going to be serving rum drinks out of those very mugs on the Lannan next summer.
Kay was at the GMG holiday party.
Yes.
Tom was not because he was up at in Stowe skiing because the high quality of skiing this year. So early. I mean, usually good skiing doesn't really happen until January sometime.
Well, for the ski snobs that only want to ski out in Utah.
Well, you know, you can say that, but I can tell you this. If you don't ski, and I know why you don't.
Fuck that shit.
And I know why you don't. Okay. But if you went to a ski resort, I don't care if it was a resort town like Bethel, Maine, where Sunday River is, okay, or go up to Killington or Stowe or Sugarbush, all right? Nobody goes to a ski town in the winter to have a lousy time. They don't go there to suffer. Right. The reason why they're going is to party and to have fun.
Well, there's a difference. There's skiing and then there's lodging. I'm in for the lodging.
Well, that's
not
my
so much
point. Go up there and with friends. Let them go out on the hill. Take your Kindle. Take a book. Chill for a little while.
Yeah.
Read for a couple hours. And then enjoy all the other activities.
Do you know of any places that inns up there that have like nice fireplaces?
Oh, they all have it.
You have a fireplace in your own room?
Some.
And you can look at the mountain and stuff?
Oh, some places are just beyond belief. I bumped into Robert.
For next podcast, I want you to put together a list of affordable places.
Affordable, you know.
Listen.
I bumped into Robert De Niro.
Okay. I don't care about the Robert De Niro because that's out of my price range. I want something. Give me something, if you can, if you're capable of this. I want you to put together a list of inns
or
hotels that are affordable, even if it's midweek or weekend places that you know the cross section. Where a value and cool town and, you know, close to activity where there's nice restaurants and stuff like that. And you don't have the skiing is secondary.
Well, what I'm saying is that nobody goes to the ski town to have a lousy time, Joey.
I understand. That's what I'm talking, and that's why I'm asking you for this list.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to dress right.
Yeah.
You got to dress properly. You go, you party with all your buddies that are skiing. Have great food, make a pub crawl. Yeah, do a little of that. You know, if that works for you.
Okay, so anyway, speaking of lists, we're joined by the lovely Nicole Schraft, formerly Nicole Wadsworth. She came by. She's got her Good Morning Gloucester cap on.
Sure do.
And if I, I'm gonna, I would I guess correct if you, in the balance between lodging and skiing, you're a skier.
I was a skier.
You don't ski anymore?
And then I had kids. Now I'm doing more of the lodging. I'd like to ski again someday. I just haven't in probably 6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that surprised me because your family, because knowing your husband, it seems to me like you would be eager to like if you drop the baby out of the womb and have them on skis, because that seems like the type of family that
well,
you would be.
We did that, but since that day, we haven't skied again.
Oh, okay. That's what it was?
No, we don't ski because there's a lot of hockey going on.
Oh, hockey. I gotcha.
They're at the rink Saturday and Sunday. And it's super expensive.
Yeah, that's
true. So I'm interested in that list because if we can find affordable skiing for four people, then we can fit it into our little schedule.
There's all kinds of deals out there, and some of them you have to secure early, but I guarantee you that there are places out there. You just have to decide how far you are willing to drive. There's an organization called VRBO, which is an acronym for Vacation Rental By Owner. If you go right, well, I guarantee you, you can find.
But I want the Toby-approved places because I know you've been all over that place.
But what I'm saying is,
next week
you can get an inexpensive place for a couple of days. All right, go up and stay, and then you go to the restaurants and the lodges that have that big hearth that you so much want, but you can go back to the house at a, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
If this was video and not just audio.
The deal for us isn't the occasional weekend away, it's the commitment to, if your kids are going to be skiers, you should plan right now to put, you know, a few $100,000 aside for continual skiing for the rest of their lives. So,
wow.
Do you want to go down that path or not? So we will someday.
Yeah. I think the whole the tubing thing. I'm in for tubing.
Tubing's awesome.
Amesbury Sports Park. I bought a Groupon back in like October for Amesbury Sports Park. Yeah, great deal.
It's a good winter activity. You can get out there
outdoors
with your friends or with your family.
Yeah. I wonder if I could organize like a Good Morning Gloucester bus trip up to. Bus trip for the snow tubes, and they have a bar up there, and we take a bus when you're crushed.
Joe. All you got to do is call the director of sales up there, okay, the market, and say, we want to cut a deal. What do you got for us? I'm not joking. It's what happens all the time. Bar owners.
I'm working this shit. Well, this is okay, going to be tremendous.
Fred,
we got T-shirts printed up.
Fred Trigley, the owner of the Rum Line, always used to send a bus like Sunday mornings from the Rum Line. He got everyone like half-price tickets. They had a keg on the bus because the bus driver, you know, was your designated driver. Everyone had a blast. They didn't pay much money, and because Fred booked it, he didn't pay for his skiing.
Oh,
so what I'm saying is
free tubing for me and the girls. Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah. This would be one. I go with the girls and then without the girls. So speaking of lists. Nicole was so kind. I asked her, my girls from the 1st to the 5th, and I want to plan like great activities for them. Nicole put together this list for me.
But she's a parent.
But you should see some of the things on the list. Where did you hear about? I haven't heard about this monster sledding at Fenway Park.
It's brand new. They just released it, and not only are they doing an. We should be hushed because it'll sell out in a minute. But not only are they doing the monster sledding on the outfield of at Fenway, but on New Year's Eve, and we just bought our tickets, they're doing a skating and sledding. So you can skate for like 45 minutes on the ice at Frozen Fenway and then sled for 2 hours. And then they have all the concessions open and the pavilion and EMC club open to warm up in for $40, 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Get out of the city.
$40 for the family or $40
per person?
Okay.
But that's an experience for a lifetime.
Okay.
Less than $10 an hour.
I just don't want anyone to go, $40, yeah. I'm going to take my, you know, put the kids in.
And
well, you need to buy tickets ahead of time anyway, because they'll sell out. But it's all on the Red Sox website.
I heard Saturday morning, where was it, at Our Ladies, they were selling the Portuguese bread.
Yeah.
And it said that they weren't going to be open till 9 o'clock, and I heard everyone showed up at 9 o'clock and they were already sold out.
Oh, really?
Ouch!
Oh, ouchies! All right. Well, that's unbelievable. Hey, Nicole, thank you for that. How did your friends like the dinner dealer decks?
I gave it all. Anybody use one? All as gifts. So no.
Oh, we shouldn't take it. I don't know anything
about
that.
What dealer decks?
Yeah.
No, that was the I bought one from you.
Yeah.
Or two from you, and you delivered them, and I told you I brought them into a faculty meeting, and everyone there wanted some. So hence your return trip.
I used.
And hence my visit today to pick up one more.
So. I used one yesterday, or a couple days ago, at up in Newburyport, a place called Oregano, and that's right on Pleasant Street, I think it's called, right off of the main street, you know, the one that goes up. Great place, tremendous paninis and flatbread pizzas, highly recommended. So I'm on my way to so the next one I use, I'm in the green with my dinner dealer deck. So once you use two, you're pretty much you're making money.
Have you been going out to any other restaurants lately?
Not much. We've been busy down the docks. I haven't really gone out much. How about you? Antonio. Oh, he's been dying to talk about Antonio's.
No. Look.
We got to make it brief. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me about Antonio's.
Well, if anyone had it in for me, all right, and wanted to kill me and didn't know where I was, the Saturday before Christmas, I get together with some buddies, and we always go to Antonio's in New Bedford. Antonio's was by Bon Appetit magazine, they qualified it as the greatest ethnic restaurant in New England.
I will say the meals that I've got there that you've brought me, I would wholeheartedly agree with you, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you finish up afterwards.
Okay.
You showed me a picture of the storefront.
Yeah.
This is no place that if I was driving by, I would ever think to go to step inside of its doors, because it just looks like another, you know.
I'm gonna do a post on that, but the only reason they Bon Appetit qualified this as saying it's the best ethnic is because they realize that certain people don't like some of the spices that might be in the Portuguese food, and so they qualified it. But other than that, they said hands down. Right. But I go there. I go to Lydia's.
You should say it's in
New Bedford.
It's in New Bedford.
And I go to Lydia's Bakery on Acushnet Ave in New Bedford as well to pick up some bread and.
But
some
two
pastry.
Or three times a year, you drive.
I go there all the time.
You drive specifically. It's how long of a drive? 2 hours? Hour and a half.
Just under
2 hours.
Yeah.
You will drive. It's that good. And you brought food back for me.
Oh yeah, more
the a la Tijana.
Yeah, pork a la Tijana.
Which Eric puts on the menu for us at Passports every once in a while. And they have as a regular menu at the Portuguese restaurant, right?
Right.
They have that at the...
Yeah, but nobody does it.
Antonio's. I understand.
Nobody does it like Antonio's. And the owner, Tony, even though I'm there only a couple days a year, he remembers me. He remembers that I'm connected to the fish industry, the bluefin tuna business. My buddies that I get together with down there are... retired fisherman, but the food is just beyond belief.
I saw the pictures. We're going to put the pictures on the blog so people can understand what we're talking about. And yes, phenomenal. So, and the prices are
fair.
I would equate this place to, you know how people, this is New Bedford's version of the Causeway. You know how people drive 2 hours to go to the Causeway? That's kind of like what this place is. But this is more ethnic food.
And every meal that you order, let's say you ordered that pork a la Tijana, there's enough food in the serving plate for two people.
Mm-hmm.
Or for you to have a meal and bring it home and enjoy it once again.
For sure.
So if that meal is $13 and you're feeding two people from it...
You're stealing.
And they do codfish, salt cod croquettes. That
those are the ones you were fighting over. You didn't get to take a picture because you ate it. You pounded them all down before you got to.
It happens. They are that good.
Good. All right. Well, Antonio's. If anybody's ever down New Bedford way, It's not a question of where you're going to go to eat. It's a must. Right. Must stop.
And tell them, please tell them that you became aware of it because of Good Morning Gloucester.
They're going to look at you like you got three heads.
No. I'm telling you, Tony, you'll see the post. All right. Tony knows about Good Morning Gloucester.
All right. We've got to put a sticker on his front window like all the other places.
Well.
There you go. Bring a sticker for him next time.
You'll see the post.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's everything. Nicole, thanks for stopping in and bringing me a coffee this morning.
Absolutely.
The way I like it.
Yes.
How do I like my Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
You like half a chocolate and half coffee, Joey.
That's they call that a mocha, don't they?
Well, this is special.
No, because then he would just get a mocha. Then he's just a little bit more high maintenance than that.
I'm high maintenance. Very nice, very nice. And Toby, thank you for resuming your duties as a co-host today. Everybody, hope you have a safe and a fun holiday. Hopefully everybody shows up for the Rocky Neck Plunge. They're doing it at 2 o'clock this year instead of their normal 11 o'clock. And you can bring canned goods or a check made out to the open door, and the food will go to the open. They'll have a truck right at the entrance to Oaks Cove Beach down on Rocky Neck. 2 o'clock, New Year's Day. The Rocky Neck Plunge is a great way to start your year. It's something that you wouldn't normally do. And once you do it, you start your year off saying, I can do anything this year.
Are you wearing a Grape Smuggler?
No, I will not be wearing a Grape Smuggler. I have a. Someone told me early on how to approach this, and the move is not to go down there naked, or half naked. The move is to go down there dressed, warm as anything, wearing boots and everything else, and then everybody lines up towards where the edge of the water is, and don't take your clothes off until you're just ready to hop into the water, and then have a towel waiting there. You run into the water, you dunk, get underneath, it doesn't count unless you put your head under, and run out, and then just towel off and get your clothes back on, and
that's the way to do it.
Piece of cake. But if you're standing there for 20 minutes half naked, your core is going to get frozen, and you're going to be miserable all day long.
Okay, so. Words of wisdom from...
A veteran, a KG veteran, a three-year veteran.
Joey C.
Yeah, this will be my fourth year. I hope to do it every year. So for Toby Pat and Nicole, I was going to say Wadsworth, Nicole Schraft, wearing her killer Good Morning Gloucester cap, I bid you adieu.
Take care. Have a good Christmas.
Bye-bye.